Today's Bible passage comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 53 through 72. And they led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witnesses against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.' Yet, even about this, their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, 'Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?' But he remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' And Jesus said, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven.' And the high priest tore his garments and said, 'What further witnesses do we need? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your decision?' And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying to him, 'Prophesy.' And the guards received him with blows. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with a Nazarene, Jesus.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you mean.' And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed, and the servant girl saw him, and began again to say to the bystanders, 'This man is one of them.' But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, 'Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean.' But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.' And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. Jesus, as God the Son, spoke about his purpose for coming to this world as a man. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The time has come for Jesus to fulfill his words. He came to give his life to save us. Although innocent, he does not defend himself when he is killed, but rather gives himself up in silence like a lamb being led to the slaughter." Isaiah chapter 53, verses 6 through 8. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned to everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. But oppression and judgment he has taken away. And as for his generation, who consider that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people?" In this manner, Jesus, like a silent lamb, was killed without speaking, offering himself as a ransom for his people. No one realized that the Son of God took on the sins of his people and received punishment for them. Not only did the sinners of the world fail to understand, but even the disciples of Jesus did not comprehend the path of suffering on the cross that Jesus took. In Mark chapter 10, verses 33 and 34, Jesus clearly stated that the Son of Man would be delivered to the high priests and scribes and that sinners would insult, spit on, flog, and kill him. But the disciples did not heed his words and denied it in their hearts. However, they were surprised when the subsequent events involving Jesus, the high priests, elders, scribes, and the entire Jewish council who falsely accused and attempted to kill Jesus, also lacked awareness due to their hearts being filled with sin. The whole world is full of darkness. A night filled with the darkness of sin and ignorance has fallen. The entire world is united against God and is killing his son. After praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said to his disciples in verse 14:42, "Get up, let's go together. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." At that moment, Judas Iscariot arrived with the servants of the Jewish leaders and the soldiers to arrest Jesus. Jesus actively went forward to give himself to them and was captured by them. As they led Jesus away, they first went to the high priest. Mark chapter 14, verse 53. And they led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. On the day Jesus died, it was the Passover, and the Jewish day begins at 6 p.m. and lasts until 6 p.m. the next day. In the evening, Jesus had dinner with his disciples and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Later, he was captured, taken to the high priest, then to Pilate, the governor of Judea, and finally crucified at 9 a.m., the third hour in Jewish time. Darkness fell over the land from 12 p.m., the sixth hour, until 3 p.m., the ninth hour. The Gospel of Mark shows that Jesus passed away at 3 p.m. All of these events took place in a single day. If you look at the entire Gospel, you can see in more detail what happened to Jesus on the night he was killed. In the Gospel of John, Jesus was first taken to Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest at the time, and then to Caiaphas. He was taken then to Governor Pilate. In the Gospel of Luke, Pilate sends Jesus to Herod, and Herod sends Jesus to Pilate again. Then Jesus is sentenced to crucifixion, is scourged, wears a crown of thorns, carries the cross, and ascends the hill of Golgotha. In the process, Simon of Cyrene carries the cross for Jesus, and Jesus is subjected to all kinds of ridicule and contempt. He was tempted and finally crucified. He tells us that on the day Jesus was arrested and died, he was dragged to various places and suffered greatly. However, today's text tells us that when Jesus was taken to the high priest Caiaphas, a disciple followed him from afar. Who was he? It was Peter. Mark chapter 14, verse 54. And Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. After talking about Peter, who followed Jesus from afar, in verse 54, we see in verses 66 through 72 that Peter denied Jesus three times. And between verses 55 and 65, we see Jesus being interrogated. This is an incident in which Jesus is tried by Jewish leaders. However, in verses 66 through 72, Peter is also questioned by a servant girl in the high priest's house. Mark connects the events of Jesus being questioned and Peter being questioned to show how Jesus proclaims the true gospel and does not deny his people, but goes on the path of giving up his life for them. On the other hand, Peter denies Jesus and takes the path of abandoning Jesus to save his own life. By showing these two scenes together, the gospel message is revealed. Please remember this and look at the incident in today's text. False accusation. Mark chapter 14, verses 55 through 59. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witnesses against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.' Yet even about this, their testimony did not agree." The Son of God is being judged by the sinners of the world. He has also been falsely accused and is undergoing an unjust trial. In verse 55, the ruling is already made before the trial. The Jewish leaders did not hold a fair trial to determine whether Jesus was guilty or not guilty. Because Jesus had to be killed, they tried to find evidence to sentence him to death, but they couldn't find any evidence to accuse Jesus. There were many false testimonies about Jesus, but the testimonies did not agree with each other. According to the law, in the case of a trial, the testimony of two or more witnesses was required to file an accusation. The testimony had to be carefully investigated to prevent false testimony and slander. And in the case of perjury, it was punishable as a serious crime. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 15 through 20. A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only on the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses shall a charge be established. If a malicious witness arises to accuse a person of wrongdoing, then both parties to the dispute shall appear before the Lord, before the priests, and the judges who are in office in those days. The judges shall inquire diligently, and if the witness is a false witness and has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him as he had meant to do to his brother. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and the rest shall hear and fear, and shall never again commit any such evil among you. Jewish leaders who boast that they know the law well and have kept it well are now completely ignoring the judicial process of the law. When they could not find evidence to attack Jesus, they tried to use false accusations to attack Jesus, but the testimonies did not match. So their plan to kill Jesus was thwarted. Then, according to the law, if Jesus was found innocent, they had to punish those who testified falsely with great sin. But the Jewish leaders had no intention of doing so, so they did not follow the guidelines of the law. How hypocritical they were to say that they are zealous for the law and yet ignore the law. These are people who serve God merely with their lips, but have abandoned God in their hearts. Why did they do this? They did this because they believed Jesus must die. That is why they did not rest, did not stop, did not give up until they killed Jesus. They appeared to be people who diligently served God, but they were people who worked hard to kill God. They had to kill God and sit in the place of God and enjoy the glory of the world. But they are not the only ones. This is the deep-rooted nature of all sinners. All sinners are those who live without ceasing, without stopping, without giving up, killing God until the end. This is what sin is. In the end, when there was no evidence to attack Jesus, they directly interrogated Jesus, trying to find something to accuse him of. In this way, Jesus, who had no sin at all, suffered unjustly and was put on an unjust trial as an innocent person. There are passages in the Old Testament that tells us about this in advance. In particular, we see such confessions in the Psalms. All Psalms are about Jesus, and the confessions of Jesus' heart were testified in advance by the psalmists who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Psalm chapter 27 verses 12 and 14. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Jesus was falsely accused by perjurers and was eventually killed, but he waited on God until the end, waited for God's righteous judgment, and overcame with a strong and courageous heart. Psalm chapter 35 verses 11 and 12. Malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. They repay me evil for good. My soul is bereft. Psalm chapter 109 verses 1 through 4. Be not silent, O God of my praise, for wicked and deceitful mouths are opened against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. They encircle me with words of hate and attack me without cause. In return for my love, they accuse me, and I give myself to prayer. These passages tell us about the heart of Jesus as he undergoes false accusations and an unjust trial. To fulfill these Psalms and God's will, Jesus is being falsely accused and subjected to an unjust trial. However, those who gave false testimony do so in verse 58. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands. How do you hear this accusation? Did Jesus really say this? In chapter 2 of John, Jesus said this. Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and 3 days I will raise it up. Is there any difference between the Jews' accusation and Jesus' words? First, Jesus said, if you destroy this temple, I will raise it in 3 days. Jesus did not say that he would destroy this temple. And Jesus explained that these words mean, what these words mean. John chapter 2 verses 21 and 22. But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remember that he had said this, and they believe the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. These words were spoken about Jesus' death and resurrection. Sinners will destroy Jesus, the true temple, and kill him. But Jesus will be resurrected, and a new temple will be built. And the saints whom Jesus saves will also be built as a new temple on Jesus. It was a declaration of the gospel of truth that God would build us together as the new temple of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus' words were completely different from the accusations made by those who testify falsely. However, ironically, to some extent, even those who bear false witness are testifying to the truth of the gospel, even if they do not understand the gospel and are speaking with evil intentions. They were speaking in terms of worldly reality, but in the end, that reality was fulfilled through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus is continuing to build a new temple. God is building his saints who died with Jesus and were resurrected with him to eternal life as the heavenly temple of Jesus. The new temple is the church, a community of saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 21 and 22. In whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We are built as the heavenly temple of Jesus, and the glory of God dwells within us. And eventually, all saints will be built as one temple of heaven. As we continue to look, the high priest Caiaphas personally interrogated Jesus and asked him questions, citing these false accusations as evidence. Jesus, the true judge, Mark chapter 14, verses 60 and 61. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But he remained silent and made no answer. The high priest asks why Jesus is not answering anything and whether these testimonies are true or not. But Jesus is silent and does not answer anything. Jesus knew the high priest's intention, and he knew that no matter what answer he gave, he had an evil heart that would eventually kill Jesus. And because Jesus is now bearing the sins of his people and walking the path of judgment that we must take, he is silent and does not open his mouth like a lamb being led to the slaughter. The words of Isaiah from chapter 53, verses 6, 7, comes true. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Even in the Psalms, these are the words that testify about Jesus in advance. Psalm chapter 38, verses 12 through 15. Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek my hurt speak of ruin and meditate treachery all day long. I am like a deaf man. I do not hear. Like a mute man who does not open his mouth. I have become like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth are no rebukes. But for you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord my God, who will answer. This shows Jesus in today's text. Jesus is silent in the face of those who oppose him and falsely accuse him. But in his heart, he looks to God, the greater judge, and looks to God's righteous judgment. Then the high priest asked again. Mark chapter 14, verse 61. Again the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Now the high priest is intentionally asking Jesus if he is the Christ, the Son of God who will be praised, trying to find something to accuse in Jesus' answer. But he is unknowingly testifying the truth with his mouth. At that time, Jesus' answer, which the high priest wanted, came out. However, Jesus did not fall for the high priest's intentional questioning, but he declared the truth and revealed his glory before all the sinners present. The sinners who heard the words proclaimed by Jesus then had to fall in fear, tremble, confess their sins, repent, and seek God's grace. What answer did Jesus give? Mark chapter 14, verse 62. And Jesus said, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, and coming with the clouds of heaven." First, he declares that "I am," that is, as you have confessed, "I am the blessed Son of God and the Christ." Dear saints, here is the summary of the entire gospel. Do you remember? Mark chapter 1, verse 1 said, "This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth as Christ, and it is the gospel and the testimony of all the Bible. He is the one of whom all the Bible teaches and testifies. Furthermore, Jesus speaks of himself as the Son of Man and declares that we will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. The Jewish leaders who knew the Bible well knew well that what Jesus' words meant. Among the words promised in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah or Christ, two passages testify to these words of Jesus. Daniel chapter 7 verses 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. He came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Psalm chapter 110 verse 1 and verses 5 through 7. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. One like a son of man will come to the throne of God, receive all authority from God, and come on a cloud to judge the whole world. He will sit at the right hand of God and judge the whole world as the true judge. Jesus is the Son of Man. He is declaring that he is the Christ and the Son of God, the judge of the whole world. So the entire gospel is revealed in this answer of Jesus. It reveals the incarnation of Jesus, the Son of God, and his death and resurrection, and his ascension, and his second coming. Thus, it is revealed that the Jewish leaders are denying this gospel and are trying to condemn and kill the Son of God, the Christ, the true judge who will come as the Son of Man and judge the whole world with false accusations. All sinners who are trying to kill Jesus along with the high priest are committing the greatest sin of blasphemy against God. If those present had ears to hear and understood Jesus' words, they would have fallen and repented their sins. However, their hearts became harder and more filled with Satan, and they became even more angry, so they accused and condemned Jesus for blasphemy. Mark chapter 14 verses 63 through 65. And the high priest tore his garments and said, what further witnesses do you need? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your decision? And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying to him, prophesy. And the guards received him with blows. When Jesus proclaimed the words of truth, the whole world was in an uproar. Sinners were in an uproar. And thinking that Jesus deserved death penalty, they rushed at Jesus, spitting on him, hitting him with their fists, insulting him, and even hitting him with their palms. Because according to the law, anyone who blasphemes the name of God must be put to death. They condemned Jesus for blasphemy and rushed to kill him. They say they are zealous for God, but they are trying to kill God with that zeal. However, all of this was God's plan, and his will was fulfilled. Just as on the Day of Atonement, the goat of Azazel bore the sins of all the Israelites and was spit upon, insulted by the people, and was sent into the wilderness to be killed. Jesus now bears the sins of his people and is spit upon and all kinds of insults. He is moving toward death on the cross. But this situation doesn't make sense. The judge of the whole world is judged by the world. The person who should be sitting in the judge's seat is standing bound in the place where he's being judged. God, who is holy and just, is judged by sinners and is subject to all kinds of spitting, criticism, condemnation, and insults, and is killed. This is the reality of the sins and sins of the world. In the past, we too lived our lives criticizing God, falsely accusing him, condemning him, judging him, spitting at him, striking him, hitting him, insulting him, and even killing him. Sinners have the greatest zeal here. Even now, sinners are living in the same way, eagerly killing God. Therefore, the whole world is divided in two due to the gospel of truth that Jesus proclaimed while going to the cross. Those who kill Jesus in anger and those who repent and accept Jesus. In today's text, it seems like Jesus is being judged, but in reality, Jesus is judging the world. Jesus judges the whole world through his death on the cross and distinguishes his people from Satan's people. For you and me, Jesus is the blessed Son of God, the Christ who came to this earth as a man to save us, the Son of Man who achieved our salvation through obedience to the point of death, was resurrected, ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the judge who has received all authority from God to rule and judge the whole world. And we believe, serve, and worship him who will soon return as the final judge. However, sinners deny Jesus and go further, become angry at Jesus, hate him, judge him, condemn him, and even go so far as to kill him. This is the deep-rooted sinful nature of all sinners. Sin ultimately means becoming angry at God, hating him, abandoning him, and killing him. Why do sinners become so angry, hate God, abandon him, and kill him? Not for any other reason. Because they love this world more than God. It's been like that from the beginning. Since one cannot serve two masters, one cannot serve both God and the world. One of them must become the object to be angry, hate, abandon, and kill. For the worldly gain and glory, God must die. The sinners must sit in God's seat. To do that, they must kill God. This is the reality of sin. Sin is about killing God. That is why the infinite judgment of God's wrath must come upon sinners. We too were hopeless sinners. However, our Jesus gives up his life for these hopeless sinners. God sacrifices his only begotten Son, who is more precious than God himself, for these enemies. We attack Jesus, falsely accuse him, condemn him, spit on him, insult him, get angry, beat him, abandon him, and ultimately crucify him. But Jesus quietly went on to the cross for us sinners. He gives his life, and he saved us from all sin, death, and judgment, and made us sons like himself, whom God loves and delights in. And Jesus allowed us to enjoy the eternal life and heavenly glory that he possesses. This is the Son we serve. This is the God we worship. Could we love the world more than this God and go into a life of hating, being angry, abandoning, and killing him to gain the world? No matter what miserable reality we live in, even if we die right now, we cannot live as if we were crucifying Jesus. That can't be happening, because the Lord is now more precious to us than this world. He is more precious than our life. So the Bible tells us to rejoice and be thankful. It tells us to always rejoice and always be thankful because of Jesus and because of the love and grace he gave us. Please ask God to help us understand more about the path of suffering on the cross that Jesus took for us sinners. I pray that we will be able to taste and know more about the love of Jesus that was revealed on the cross, so that we will always live serving Jesus with joy and gratitude. However, while Jesus was being questioned like this, there was one more person who was being questioned on the spot. It is Peter. Next Lord's Day, we will look at verses 66 through 72 about Peter being questioned and denying Jesus.